This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon and produced by the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for tuning in. Does the Bible speak specifically against certain Roman Catholic teachings? That is our focus in this week's cover article. Along with his co-host Mike Gendron, here's T.A. McMahon.
Welcome to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for all of what God says about himself, about us, what he expects of us, and most importantly, what he has done for us that we might spend eternity with him. My out-of-studio partner for today's program is Mike Gendron, the author of Preparing Catholics for Eternity and head of the ministry Proclaiming the Gospel. He's also one of the co-founders of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Mike, welcome.
It's good to be back with you, Tom.
Mike, before we get started on our study of the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Galatians, I'd like you to share with our listeners some things about your ministry proclaiming the gospel, especially the teaching part where you bring seminars to churches around the country.
Well, sure, I'd be glad to. The work of our ministry is to equip the saints to reach out to what we consider the world's largest and most neglected mission field, and that's the Roman Catholic Church with over 1 billion souls. And so what we do is we're invited into evangelical churches, and we spend normally 2 or 3 days with them, equipping the saints, teaching them about Roman Catholicism and the distinctive differences between that and biblical Christianity.
Mike, let me just jump in on that one. From your experience, are evangelicals reasonably informed when you show up? Do they have some pretty good understanding of what Catholics believe?
No. Matter of fact, that's the secondary purpose of our ministry, is to educate evangelicals about Roman Catholicism. Give you an example. I was recently in a Baptist church, and I began the seminar by asking the people in the audience, how many of you would believe the Roman Catholic Church is another Christian denomination, or would you consider it an apostate church that has a false gospel? And 99% of the audience raised their hand, believing that the Roman Catholic Church is merely another Christian denomination. And so, needless to say, their jaws dropped when I started sharing how different the gospel is and how a different Jesus is actually one that is worshipped in the Catholic Church.
Right. And Mike, these are not esoteric, deep, dark, secret kinds of ideas that you're teaching them about the Catholic Church. Where do you get your materials from?
Right from their sources, which, as you have noted, is surprising. It's right there available to everyone. They can pick up the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and they can see just how opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ the Roman Catholic Church is. But you know what, Tom? The problem is we've got many evangelicals that are stating that evangelicals and Catholics are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so what they're hearing is these highly influential evangelicals instead of people like you and I that are actually showing the discernment.
Now, Mike, we wouldn't be against this if it were indeed true. What we're talking about here is not your opinion, Mike, not my opinion, but what the Roman Catholic Church officially teaches, and then, if you're an evangelical, what the Bible teaches about the gospel. Either there may be some minor differences, or there's a gap between them that nothing in terms of wrestling over particular issues can really close that gap. They are clearly, and with great distinction, they're separated.
Well, that's so true. In fact, Tom, what I try to do is keep my subjective opinions out of my teaching, because obviously, there's enough objective truth and objective facts that we can deal with, and I know that this is what the Lord used to open my eyes. He laid the truth right alongside Catholic error, and ultimately, after looking at the contradictions between the Bible and Catholic teaching, I had to come to a decision. I had to choose.
Mike, let me just interject this for our listeners. You were a Roman Catholic for how long?
Well, I was a Catholic for 37 years, and it wasn't until I started reading the Bible and I noted that the plan of salvation that the Bible offers is different from the Catholic plan of salvation, it wasn't until then that I began investigating the claims of Christ and his sufficiency and his finished work of redemption. And all this contradicted to the many years of Catholic teaching that I had. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is I had to decide whether or not I was going to put my trust in Christ and his word or in the Catholic Church and its teachings. Mm-hmm. And when I boiled it down to that, it became a very simple decision. And so I trusted Christ and his word, and I left the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. So, Mike, now your mission, the mission of your ministry, proclaiming the gospel, as you've been saying, you go to churches, evangelical churches, and you try to basically inform them, right?
Definitely inform them, because many people have Catholic friends and loved ones, and they're so close in what they believe. They believe in many of the fundamentals of the Christian faith.
Yeah, but orthodoxy, right?
Sure. But what they fail to believe is that we are saved by grace and not by works. We're saved in a finished sacrifice, not a continuing repetitious representation of Christ on Catholic altars. And so we need to point out that the Jesus of the Catholic Church is not the Jesus of the Bible, so that we can turn Catholics to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mike, these distinctions, again, I'm going to lay this back on you. Somebody might be out there saying, well, that's just his opinion. But if anybody out there is thinking that way, we have for the past number of weeks, and we will continue weeks ahead if the Lord tarries, and we are going through the book of Galatians, Paul's epistle to the Galatians. And in that epistle, Paul lays out very clearly what separates the true gospel from a false gospel. And there's no sleight of hand here, but if somebody has an open mind, you're able to see plainly that what the Galatians did, we call the Roman Catholic Church the Galatian heresy, all the Galatians did was they accepted other things that they needed to do in order to be saved, beginning with circumcision and looking at certain holidays, ritualism from their Judaic background, that is, the Judaizers who came in, not the Galatians. Many of them were Gentiles, but basically they were coming under law. And Paul said that anyone who added anything would be accursed, that this was another gospel, a false gospel. So, again, I jumped in there because I don't want people thinking this is just your idea.
Well, Tom, and what you're saying is so true, because if it is another gospel, then the whole Catholic Church is under God's condemnation. And so that's our mission, is to rescue the Catholic souls out from under their system. Mm-hmm. No one's going to change their system.
Right.
They're papal pronouncements that are infallible dogmas that can never change. And so our only hope then is to rescue all the Catholics. If I could just make a distinction, too, as we study the book of Galatians. Paul is obviously writing this letter to many born-again Christians who had heard the gospel, had been saved by grace, and were now moving under the law again. They were moving from the principle of grace to the principle of law. And that's distinctively different from the Roman Catholic Church, which has never preached the gospel.
Right.
And so its people are still lost. They've never been saved by grace, and so they're following another gospel, having never known the truth. Mm-hmm. And that is the distinction between the two.
Yeah, well, good point, Mike. Mike, if people out there, maybe they're in evangelical churches, or maybe they're just individuals who want to gain the information that your ministry offers, how can they contact you? How can they reach Proclaiming the Gospel?
Well, several ways. They can call us on our ministry line. It's 972-495-0485. Or they can write to us at Post Office Box 940-871 in Plano, Texas, 75094. Or they can contact us via the Internet. Our website is www.pro-gospel.org. That's pro-gospel.org. And they can view our website. We've got many resources that will educate them and equip them to reach out to Roman Catholics. And they can also contact us via email.
There's another piece of information I want to present to our listeners. In October, program will air probably mid-September, but in October, from October 10th through the 14th, in Scroon Lake, New York, we're going to have a Reaching Catholics for Christ conference. This is at Word of Life Fellowship in Scroon Lake, New York. And I'm going to give you an 800 number, which I'll give right now, and then Gary will repeat it. It's 1-800-965-7000. 7177. And that's the number to call if you're interested in spending some time with us. And upstate New York should be beautiful. The foliage should be spectacular. But more than that, the fellowship of like-minded believers, those who really want to minister to Roman Catholics, because you have loved ones, because you just have a great concern. As you said, Mike, earlier, this is a mission field, 1 billion strong. One in every four Americans is Roman Catholic, and we just want to make sure they receive the gospel of God, the gospel of truth that will indeed deliver them from the bondage of a legalistic system.
And Tom, I might add, we're not only going to equip them and train them in New York, but we're also going to take them out into the field, into the mission field, and we're going to go out two by two and engage Roman Catholics as they go in and out of their church.
Yeah, and all of that has to do with a free gift. We have received salvation. It's a gift of God. And the scripture says, because we freely received it, we're to go out and freely offer it to those who are really perishing. Mike, we got just a few minutes left. Let's get into Galatians. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. And we're in Galatians chapter 4 and right here at verse 8. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that, ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? And Mike, what do you think the Apostle Paul is saying here?
Well, prior to them coming to know God through the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were blinded by the prince of this world. They did not know the glory of the gospel or the knowledge of Christ. That was a supernatural blindness. And when they turned to Christ, that blindness was healed. But this is a fascinating verse, verse 8, that they served by nature which are not gods. We look to the Roman Catholic system and how many statues and the Eucharist that is lifted up, and by nature it is not God, even though they claim that through a miracle of transubstantiation, it actually becomes God. But it's so appropriate, isn't it, that Paul was writing to those who followed pagan gods prior to their conversion. And we see so many Catholics in bondage to the Eucharist, in bondage to different statues and saints, as they are told that they're efficacious in praying to them to receive different blessings and different merit from God. Mm-hmm. You look at the treasury of the Catholic Church, and you see that the merits of the saints and Mary are commingled with the merits of Christ. And so this keeps Catholics in bondage throughout all the days of their life. And it's only when they come to know the true God that they'll know that these statues and the Eucharist is not the true God.
Right. You know, Mike, it's interesting you underscore the word bondage because, well, in verse 8 it says, ye did service unto them. And then if we look at verse 9, the end of verse 9, it says, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. Well, that's the same Greek word. And we know, I mean, it's been our experience as Roman Catholics, that once you come under law, once there are certain things that you have to do, that you are obligated to do under the penalty of a mortal sin which separates you from sanctifying grace, and if you die in that state, you go directly to hell. There's no other opportunities according to the teachings of the church. So that's a bondage, that if I have to keep doing things and my eternal life, my eternal security depends on what I have to keep doing and doing and doing, and if I blow it in a serious way and commit a mortal sin, not only my mentality, my spirituality, all these things that I bring into my worship of God, there's a tension there. There's a bondage that, man, I better keep doing this or I'm in serious trouble. Well, how can you really have the joy of loving God, of serving Him, of being a blessing to others when there's this damnation that's being held over you if you fall?
Well, and you really hit a major point there. We obey God out of love, not to gain anything from Him. And we see that so often. Once we have the Spirit of God in us, then the fruit of the Spirit is love, we see in Galatians 5:22. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, in Romans 5:5. And then Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so often, Tom, my heart goes out to Roman Catholics who are zealous for God, and they just have the wrong motivation. You know, they're trying to earn something from Him rather than loving him and doing things out of gratitude and appreciation for what he did, he sent his son to die to pay the penalty that we all deserve as sinners. And that should bring happiness and joy and a deep gratitude of love to serve God with that kind of motivation, because he's already accomplished everything we needed instead of trying to earn salvation.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Mike address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
Mike, this person writes, I continue to witness to my elderly mother, who seems to be very open to what I have to say about Jesus. At times, what I tell her about what Jesus did for us moves her to tears. On the other hand, she still clings to the teachings of the Catholic Church. It's very frustrating. Do you think she is truly saved when she tries to accept two conflicting views? Mike, I know from my experience, one of the more difficult places to witness to Catholics is in a nursing home, elderly people. You know, they seem to be nodding their head and agreeing with what you're saying, but they keep hanging on, waiting for the last rites of the Church, the Viaticum, and so forth. I don't know, what's your experience?
Well, yeah, I've had similar experiences myself, and boy, in fact, my wife's father, we considered him the most evangelized man that ever lived on the earth, and he could
You went after him big time, huh?
Well, the whole family did, yeah. And he could recite the gospel back to you. He had the intellectual assent, but he always said, I want a funeral mass when I die, and I want to be buried in the Catholic Church, and I want to receive last rites and extreme unction. And so I called it suspenders theology. You know, if the belt fails, I want to make sure I've still got my suspenders on. And so, obviously, you cannot believe two opposing views at the same time. You've got to choose. Are you going to trust Christ and his word or the teachings of the Church? And for this person who's been talking to her mother, oftentimes we have to present the gospel in an antithetical form. We have to show what the gospel is and what it's not, as Paul did in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And when we talk about Jesus, we need to show that if the sacrifice is finished, it cannot be ongoing. And if he died on a cross, he cannot be presented now on an altar. And when he offers eternal life, it cannot be considered temporal life. And when his righteousness is imputed, we cannot believe it's infused, as the Catholic Church teaches. And so we have to make a decision which to believe, the Word of God or the teachings of the Church.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, I think when we witness, we fail to show what the gospel is not. And so oftentimes we'll get people to agree that they believe in Jesus and they believe he died for their sins, but yet they want to hold on to all these different things.
Mike, I agree. The verse that comes to mind is when Philip was dealing with the Ethiopian eunuch. And he explained, seems to indicate, he explained the gospel to this man who wanted to know. He was going through Isaiah chapter 53. Wow, it lays it out there pretty clearly. But Philip even more so explained to him the gospel. And his response was, I believe. So what keeps me from being baptized? Not that he needed baptism, but this, he wanted to make a public statement about his belief. And what does Philip say? Well, if you believe with all your heart. So a person who equivocates, who says, in your terminology, Mike, is looking for a backup, looking for the suspenders because the belt may not make it. That's a person who hasn't really believed with all their heart, hasn't made that commitment and put their trust in Christ, put their full trust in Christ.
Well, James describes him as a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways.
So we can acknowledge that there are some people who have presented the gospel in a way that it's not really clear, and there is some confusion. But it's a very simple gospel, isn't it, Mike? A child can receive it.
And, you know, one of the illustrations that usually works very effectively with Catholics is I ask Catholics to imagine there's a set of monkey bars suspended over hell, and their church teaches them as long as they're clinging to these different rungs, whether it be their baptism, their good works, obeying the law, receiving the sacraments, attending Mass every Sunday. As long as they cling to these things, the church teaches they will not perish in hell. Now imagine Jesus is suspended between them and hell, saying, if you let go of those things that cannot save you, I promise when you do, I'll save you. So a Catholic needs to let go and trust that Jesus will save them. It's a step of faith. They must go against everything they've been taught and put all their trust and confidence in Jesus. And I tell Catholics, if they're still clinging to those rungs when they die, they're going to lose their grip. Jesus won't be there. They've got to make a decision now to trust him alone.
Right. And then there's a case, again, going back to something that hasn't been maybe explained well enough, or there may be some circumstances in which make it unclear. And this is a particularly difficult time because we're talking about our loved ones. And there may be some doubt on our part with regard to whether they really received the gospel. But Mike, God is a just God. He is an absolutely fair God. You know, in cases in which we personally don't have the insight or understand, although we've done everything that we could, we have to rely on and trust God, who knows the heart, which we don't know the heart, knows whether a decision was made, and we put that in the hands of a God who is absolutely fair and absolutely just. And beyond that, equal to that, in the perfection of his justice, we have a God who loves us so much that he sent his Son to die for us. That's backing up justice and fairness with mercy and all of that. Now, when God brings all that into the picture, we can trust him with regard to how he's going to deal with our loved ones. What do you think, Mike?
Well, it's so true, and who better to trust than the Lord Jesus, the Almighty God, the infinite God who paid an eternal debt for sin. And the life he gives is eternal life, because he can never die again. His life is imparted to all those who will believe in him, and they're secure in his hands and the Father's hands for all time.
Yeah. One thing I would encourage maybe some out there who are in a situation like this person who wrote to us, you have to begin and end with prayer. I was just reading this morning, Paul prayed without ceasing. He was continually on his knees for his spiritual children, for those who he not only led to the Lord, but those who the Lord was going to provide down the line for him to be used in their lives. And that's what we have to do. We have to continue to minister. Sometimes our deed as well, by deed I mean blessing people, encouraging people, really reflecting the Lord's light in his life in our lives. Sometimes that can speak to our parents more than anything. They know us. They were changing the diapers, okay? They've seen us over a long period of time, and they know change. They can see a change where many people can't, and we want to be reflective of Christ's love. So there are many ways that we can minister, but bottom line is we trust the Lord for their salvation.
Well, Tom, if I could just accentuate your importance of prayer. You look at what a model the Apostle Paul is in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. Here's the great evangelist. He prayed to God for open doors of opportunity, not only for that, but also that God would give him the words to speak. And so that's what we need to do. We're in spiritual warfare, and so it's a supernatural conversion that we're asking for, and we need to be in prayer.
If you have questions for Tom and his guest to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. We offer many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number A0762. And please mention the call letters of this station. If you would like information about the upcoming Reaching Catholics for Christ conference at Scroon Lake, New York, call 800-965-7177. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you can join us again next week for According to God's Word.